But you know what? In a dark way, and a buddy of mine said this. In a dark way, we have to thank the Trump administration.
Oh, I will never do that. But I hear what you're saying.
And I say this because
it's a backlash.
Had he not won,
this wouldn't have come out.
None of this.
At this time.
Like the way it is happening?
Yeah.
Because you know what it is? The people got mad at that situation.
Yeah.
And finally said, I'm not putting up with this shit. So now,
exactly.
All of a sudden, we can't get him, but we're going to get everybody else.
All right, exactly. Folks, we're going to close out episode 38 on the audio recording, but we are staying live on Facebook and continuing episode 39. Thank you. Cool. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. It's just a sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
That it takes, but I guess that there's some truth to it, because it takes to hit the bottom of everything to finally look up and go, you know what? Now I see how I ended up here, and I don't want to get back to that. So we need to start, because I mean we've been having this problem in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Boys were for years.
Oh well, Catholic
were
Church
being abused for years, and the church kind of,
We don't talk about it.
The worst kept secret. And even you and I worked there. I've worked in television. For you. You worked in television. You always hear the stories about the casting couches. You always hear You always hear those kind of murmurs in the corridors, like, well, you know, I wouldn't have got here if I didn't do what he asked me to do.
Right, right.
And this, that, the other thing. So, you know, and I guess that's part of the reason why people kind of point, because like even with the Louis C.K. thing, what I could not wrap my head around is how you, like, and I guess somebody explained it to me, but what I don't understand is that I come into the room and I just whip my stuff out. And
do
I'm
you
like,
mind if I do this?
Are you mind if I do it? And you don't move. Like, and like some of the women were like, well, we laughed.
Yeah, because they didn't know what to
because
do.
Because it's an uncomfortable laugh.
Yeah.
But when you say, you know, I laugh, like, some people are like, oh, well, you thought it was funny. You didn't. But it's like, exactly. Well, what do you do? It's like, who does that?
Exactly. And you know what do you do in that situation?
First of all, real quick, let me handle some business. This, for those of you that are catching us here in mid-stride here, this is episode 39 of B-Fly and Shenanigans. True Monsters, we're going to name this particular episode. It may not necessarily go for an hour, but, you know, we're kind of playing it by ear here. So, catching us in mid-stride, we are talking about the recent, just total deluge of sexual misconduct cases that have flooded our nation right now in terms of the Harvey Weinsteins and Kevin Spaceys of the world. We're on Facebook Live. My man, fellow LIU grad, Will, he actually just brought up a couple of things. First of all, that Al Franken has now joined the
Yes, he has.
And that actually kind of fucks me up.
Al Franken admitted to, was it girls?
Bless you.
Yeah.
Al Franken and what else did Will say? Oh, that his wife agreed with something you said, but I'm catching that late. But so big shout out to them both, you know, LIU alum folks like myself. It's good of them to tune in. And getting back to what you said about the Trump thing, and we've had episodes. Bless you.
Are you all right? I'm okay.
Something to get you some Jamie Lee Curtis activity. Anyway, getting back, like we've had a few episodes now when Kirk was here and whatever, especially when Trump first got elected, where we put down all the nerd shit and we just commiserated because, you know, we had those episodes where we were just basically three scared black dudes.
Yes.
Like, oh shit, are we about to go back to the cotton field? Like, what the fuck's going on? you know, and no.
It was a scary.
I understand. I agree.
And it's still scary.
I agree.
It's still scary.
I laugh because I understand.
You know, but I guess, you know what, you're right. If there is one good side effect out of all this, because at some point, you know, if you're an intelligent black person in this country, I feel like you are just kind of waiting for the day, not necessarily when racism is done, but where when certain forms of it are finally recognized as not productive.
Right.
And counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. You know, just where existing.
People, yes. Right. Right.
Yes. That just exists.
You're like, mm-hmm. It's there, it's fine, but it doesn't necessarily affect me if I bust my ass and still do what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
You know, as long as I'm, you know, in school or working or you know, not doing anything illegal, then at least I don't have to worry about getting killed by the police.
Right.
That would be your assumption.
Let's get there. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah.
So, I want to, you know, I want to address what you just said, because the Trump backlash.
Yes.
Which, you know, if you want to go further back, Trump himself is sometimes referred to as the Obama backlash.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true.
But let's break it down, because I had this conversation with a couple of brothers actually, you know, during lunch between episodes of Harry. You know, because we were talking about how we ended up here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and full recognition of the fact that racism hasn't gone anywhere per se.
Right.
But there's the active and then there's the inactive. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is that this last election cycle, not this past year's election. I'm talking about 2016.
Yes.
Right. 2016's election cycle. Ugh. 2016's election cycle. Like a lot of things went wrong. A lot of things. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the fact that Trump bullied his way up to the RNC in the first place. You know, you can't just dismiss it as that.
Yeah. Right.
Because at the end of the day, the man didn't win the popular vote.
No, he didn't.
There's also the fact that a lot of people didn't vote at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's also the fact that Hillary Clinton ran a shitty campaign.
Yeah.
And let's, like, you know, I wish her well on her book tour, even though she ain't never wished me well on mine. I wish her well on her book tour, but at the same time, it's kind of a shame that when you were running for president, you didn't take your ass to Michigan.
Damn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That's right there. Take your ass to Michigan and say something other than Trump sucks.
Mm. Yeah.
Because had you done that, you'd be in charge and things would be
different.
Well, at least Betsy DeVos wouldn't be in charge of education. Let's put that on the table.
Jesus Christ.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So here we are in this, and it's like I almost want to sit down with some serious scientists and like put like a pie graph together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like what percentage of who's to blame for who percentage wise? You know, it's like 42% just dumb racist motherfuckers, and then there's like maybe, you know, 38% Hillary, and then, you know, that one little sliver and it's Trump's fucked up little family,
mm-hmm.
and then there's Putin, he's in there somewhere, and you know.
But I have to say this.
Mm.
It seems to me that what happened was we got comfortable.
Yes.
We got too comfortable. And we left it on the shoulders of people who we thought, I don't believe this, we all thought we all had the same moral standings in this country.
Jesus.
After 8 years of Obama,
mm-hmm.
everybody turned to each other and was like, you voted for him, and you voted for him, and I voted for him. So we all have the same mindset.
I didn't.
And the problem is, And the problem is, that's not how we all think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We forget that there are other people in other places
exactly.
that think differently.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But the majority of us thought, well, I'm not going to vote. But there's no way in the hell he's going to get in there.
Yeah.
And the problem, and the thing was, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how we are.
Mm-hmm.
He got in. And we protest for 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
People screamed. The ladies went. They had their march. Everybody screamed. But I think what happened in this last election cycle, I'm talking about this one that happened a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Yes.
We suddenly realized where the power lied.
Yep.
And as much as you want to talk about voting doesn't matter and this, that, the other thing, guess what? Virginia knew. Virginia was like, y'all brought this shit on our doorstep.
We're done.
That dude is sitting at home wondering what the hell just happened. They got a girl in Jersey who got fed up because they asked the dude. The dude just said all kind of horrible thing about women.
Mm-hmm.
Never ran a campaign in her life. She won by a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
Dude sitting at home watching TV, scratching his neck, going, what the fuck just happened? We found out there was a brother from Liberia that became mayor of a city in Michigan. We were like, wait, there's Liberians out there? Point where people were like, I'm so sick. I'm not doing this no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think based off of that simple, because see, the thing was, we have this ideology. I'm only concerned until it happens to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened? It happened to everybody.
Yes.
While you sat back and didn't think hey, y'all voted for Trump? Doesn't have to bother me. By the way, your parents can't come back into this country.
Right.
What?
Guess what? They don't have Medicare.
Guess what? And not only can't they come back into this country, but you're going to have to leave too because you're from a country that we've put over here. Now, all of a sudden now, I'm shutting my store down. But before, you weren't protesting anything
because
you didn't care, okay?
Then
they came for you.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was like, hey, listen, I got the Affordable Care Act. I don't have to worry about Obamacare.
Right.
Excuse me, that is Obamacare.
That is Obamacare.
I'm sorry, what? Yeah,
and you know
about
what?
To the point where one of our own senators found out he had brain cancer and was like, oh, shit, if I didn't have health care, guess what? Come right down to think, nope, not voting for that. And they're like, wait, weren't you the biggest component? Yeah, no, not anymore. See, it's only when it happens to you.
Yep.
And so now, I think as this whole thing, piece by piece, because I think that's why minorities kind of sat back and was like, I'm not saying a word. Because we knew this from the beginning.
Yep.
So we're just going to, because it's almost like, you know what? I'm going to let this shit happen to you. And once it does, we'll see how you respond to it.
But
and,
you know, I'm not a fan of that.
I'm not either.
D.L. Hughley put it best.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, when white folks catch a cold, everybody else catches pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
True. And it's real.
It's true.
It's real. It's true. Like, and the thing is, so I also want to talk about, because my man Will, he brought up the good point about the DNC being shady.
Yes.
In their election process. That's definitely another thing that's up on the pie graph when
definitely
I finally
legit.
Put it together.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean. If this is any indication of how 2018 is going to play out, we're going to be okay. We just have to, we just have to kind of weather out.
Yeah, we just have to make it through.
But you know, the interesting thing is that's what Obama said.
But he's ultimately going to be right, though, because you already see the swing back.
But he said it. He said, y'all are sitting here wanting me to say all this bad stuff, but we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
Because he knew what we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He knew from the moment that man won the election, he was like, no, screw. Because first of all, the party that he's under is already broken.
Yeah.
And they're just going to continuously break apart. Yes. Because what you have in front, because here's the thing. I almost liken this to Alfred's conversation with Bruce in The Dark Knight. When he said,
I know exactly what you're getting ready to do. When he
said, they were so interested in whether or not they could stop you, they didn't think about who they got to do it. Mm. You went and got the Joker to stop you, but they weren't thinking about what this man could possibly do. Right. And so you put all your investment in what you thought was, this was the white knight for us. But this fool doesn't shut up.
Right.
And because you
he's not
never,
the white knight.
And you, because you didn't put a leash on him to begin with.
Yeah.
Because, again, this was be careful what you wish for because you will get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We want a guy that's not a politician. Here's the problem. He doesn't understand how any of this works. So it's like a person saying, I want a job where they pay me to do nothing.
Yep.
Okay, here you go. Sit at this desk. No computer, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Sit here for 8 hours. And we'll pay you $30,000 a year. And you're sitting there like, well, I got to do something. I'm bored as hell. Mm. No, you don't have to do anything. You just sit there. Because this is what happened. And again, what now happens is that while everybody else is like, dude, while you're so busy trying to stop the thing that you can't stop, the garbage is starting to float up from the top. So now all of a sudden we got these sexual assault cases.
Yep.
We got all that. Because you know what you weren't doing this whole time? You weren't passing bills.
Yep.
You weren't putting anything in place to stop anything.
The swamp's overloading
at this
point.
Basically, it overflowed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the time you turn around and went, oh shit, we got to stop this. I mean, you got a dude sitting up there. We're sitting here crying about he's going to send us into a nuclear war.
Right.
The chances of that shit happening are 1 billion to 1. It's two little punks on the schoolyard screaming back and forth at each other. Nobody's going to do anything. But you're forgetting what else is going on over here.
Right.
So while we're still over here focused on all of this shit starts coming up. And this is all of our dirty laundry. This is the laundry that we thought we burned. And it's not. Racism was still alive. It has always been alive in this country.
Oh, totally.
And just because you voted a black president into the White House did not mean that that went away the day he walked through the door. In fact, it got worse.
It got worse as a result.
But it was funny because that's why a lot of people. A lot of people made that the point. Oh well, now we can just treat black folks however we gotta treat them. Because
you got 8 years.
You've been between Obama and Jay-Z. Y'all supposed to be good now, right? Y'all straight now, right? Slavery, we made up for that now, right? Like, no.
Got 8 years.
Not quite.
Whatever.
And the thing is, and I want to touch on Will's whole thing. The DNC situation is politics as usual.
Of course.
Yes.
And I hate to say it that way, but that's what it
They're all corrupt.
Here's the problem.
It's gonna happen.
If Bernie Sanders had actually been nominated, that man would have been crucified by the moron that's in the office now. I can't even, it scares me to think what would have happened to him. Because here's what you were dealing with, and Hillary didn't fare any better. But she knew enough to go, I gotta be careful about where I step. Bernie seemed to be the kind of person you could goat him into something, and he'd have fell right into that hole with Trump trying to fight him.
But you see, Bernie's the kind of guy that you try to goat him into something, and he actually will look at the big picture and be like, no, we shouldn't be talking about this. We should be talking about this.
Which,
and he'll change the conversation
hold
on you.
Which Kasich did. Multiple times.
That is true.
On the RNC trail.
That is true.
And every time they were like, you know, Ted Cruz is standing up there like he's got small hands. Kasich, what do you think? Well, you know, I think some of the ways we could balance the budget, yeah, whatever.
That's
back
true.
To the small hands
that's
over
true.
Here.
And that's where the media
and that
falls into
yes.
and that pie graph.
Yep.
And until you sat there and you fell into that trap. And then somebody said, well, you're not a real journalist anyway.
Oh.
What? Show fake real news. Journalism. And next thing you know, now they're doing their job. You know, before it was like, oh, yeah. He called him little hands. Oh, he called him this. We didn't focus on the problem at hand. Yeah. Instead of, like, you guys, my thing is this. You could have stopped him easily with, when the whole thing about, you know, jobs and this, that, the other thing, you could have gone to Jersey, going right up to that boardwalk and been like, how many of you used to work in the Trump Casino? How many of you are working now? But how many? But
they did do that and people didn't pay
attention. No one gave a shit.
No.
They did do that.
Yeah. Because they wanted attention. Because they wanted the circus.
I saw all that shit on the internet.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. And it's funny because from a geek point of view, I'm thinking, you know, I love Dune. I love the franchise of Dune. Okay. So I'm going to go from a Dune perspective on this.
All right.
This is when the God Emperor of Dune takes over the planet. Mm-hmm. This is literally somebody that shows up and is going to be, I'm going to be a dictator. I'm going to take away your rights. I'm going to just fuck with you every single way possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to oppress you so much that these lazy, these people that just take what they're given constantly are finally going to get so angry, they're going to do something.
Yes.
And when they do something, they're going to go and explode and something, like a renaissance is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say that Trump is the God Emperor of Dune, because the thing was that in the book, Leto Atreides knew what he was doing. He was doing this on purpose because he knew how humanity was. Mm-hmm. It's that we get complacent, we get lazy, and it takes something really terrible to jar us as a consciousness to make us do something.
Right.
And it's really interesting from a geek perspective of having read that book, and I'm literally seeing it. It's this someone that came over here and has bullied us so much that suddenly people are actually doing things again. And things are coming out, and we're actually going to see a resurgence of, like, you know, political action, state action actually happening. And it's all because this one bully showed up and was like, no, you guys can't have your way. And we were just like, well, I guess we have to get, you know, we have to start fighting again. But, like, we've just become so lazy.
No, you're right.
And it's just, it's our way in a weird way. And it's like, it happens in a cyclical way, you know?
It's,
this is just another, like, course in our history that we just have to, like,
oh, no.
be galvanized to action again.
That's why we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, Tom Clancy has one of my favorite lines, freedom isn't free.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so you're going to have to
work for it.
You got to work for it. You want freedom, you have to work for it.
Yeah.
And, thank God there was a system put in place to avoid all of this. I mean, of course, the Electoral College didn't do their job.
Didn't do much.
But it seemed like...
No.
We got the Dune Emperor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got elected, we got Beelzebub.
Yep.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
There you go.
And all I hear is Nagrathea. No, man, we're not in Nagrathea. Yeah, that's where we go. I'm like, dude, we can't. It's just, and I'm glad that we as a people didn't sit back and just take it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad, because my
thing was. Well, we're not doing that now.
Because my thing was, my concern was, I see the protests.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do after?
Right.
And that's always been, like, I think one night I explained to these guys when the Occupy Wall Street thing happened.
Oh, God.
And I said to them, because they didn't have a plan, I said, you know what you should have done? If you could have gotten everybody on the same page, get everybody in a group and go, okay, this is what we're going to do. On Thursday, all of you, who has an account in Chase? Okay, all of you on Thursday, close out your accounts. On Friday, who has an account at TD Bank? Close out all of your accounts.
Mm.
One by one, close out every account in every bank.
Well,
and all of a sudden, because see, the thing is, it's the money that speaks.
Yes.
Yes.
And when you not only that, don't do that. Don't just do that. Go down to the municipal credit union and open up an account in the credit union. Mm-hmm. Pour your money in there. And I guarantee you, all of that, they're just talking. Mm-hmm. Trust me, some dude's coming down on an elevator and is going to come outside and be like, okay, we need to speak to one of you guys about what?
What's happening?
Goodbye. No.
But the first problem with Occupy Wall Street, and I only have this particular insight because at the time I was dating someone whose kid was in the park.
Okay.
So I walked over there a couple of times, made sure he had food, gave him a couple bucks, and you know, all of that. So first of all, they didn't want to name a leader.
That was the problem, probably.
Which, I mean, you know, you want to play that I am Negan shit before there was I am Negan. You know, it's like, that's cute and all, but at the end of the day, it's like, you need a spokesperson.
There needs a
face. You need a figurehead.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. And they refuse to do that.
You need a Katniss Everdeen.
And then, and the fucked up thing about that particular movement was, it was literally just those people trying to stay in the park as long as they could. Mm-hmm. Now, and the thing is, I sympathized with the movement, mm-hmm. but bro's got to eat. Bro's got to work. Bro's got to keep right. this roof.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay? Now, if you want me to come out there and hold a spot for a couple of hours, you know, and then somebody else come in, mm-hmm. hold that spot for a couple of hours, kind of like a strike. Right. Yeah. Think of it like a strike. Think of it like we all work for Verizon. A bunch of us work for Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Obviously, we not all going to stand out there for 2 weeks straight. Because eventually you got to go take a child to school and you got to mm-hmm. do something. Mm-hmm. But had they just organized it to that point.
Yeah.
Had they just organized it to that point, and then, because MSNBC would have put whoever you would have said, they would have had that person sitting in the studio, made up microphone. So quick and all fucking day.
Yeah.
First you going to talk to Chris Matthews, then you going to talk to, at the time, then you going to talk to Keith Olbermann, then you going to talk to Rachel Maddow.
Like, they wanted a voice.
They wanted a voice.
But you know what? That goes the same way with why Trump got into office. Because what we don't want somebody speaking for us. We're a group. We don't, mm-hmm. that's that mentality that we don't need a leader. We know what we're doing. No. Unfortunately, you're going to need someone to lead you in this battle.
There's got
to
be a face.
Because the problem is that you all are running in 40 different directions.
Exactly.
First of all, big up to Will, who's sticking with us tonight. And Will says, yes, like those fake pro-lifers, what are you going to do when that child is born? You going to support it? No. You going to vilify the child for the next 18 years.
Mm.
So,
real talk.
It is. It's this sort of kind of, and I hate to say it in this content, but it's that millennial type of thinking.
Mm.
And it's that type of thing. And because again, like you said,
mm-hmm.
we became complacent. We haven't had to fight for anything.
No, we were given
for
shit.
Ages. My parents fought in the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. and then once you got affirmative action and everything else in place, it was like, well, we're good.
It was actually
a time of just plenty.
And then we had that 80s where it was, what did they call it? The decade of decadence.
Exactly.
And you mm-hmm. sat back and you enjoyed yourself. The 90s, all you had to do look cute and you were on a record label.
That's yep. right.
In the early 2000s, you had YouTube. You became an instant star.
We never had to work for anything.
You didn't have to. But unfortunately, like, you, we fell in that generation where
no participation trophies.
We were 70, 80s babies.
Yeah.
We fell into the, well, we're kind of on the ride, but we don't really have a stake in anything because nobody's actually giving us anything until we got to this point.
And now we're like, where the hell's our house?
And so now the thing is, the people now bringing all the garbage to the surface is us.
Yep.
Because it's like, we were not part of that whole thing. So we're like, let us remind you what our parents did and what you seem to have forgotten.
Yep.
That right here in the middle, there's a whole lot of shit that just did not get taken care of.
Yes.
And we're all sitting back now going, that's why you have Hollywood stars saying, well, you know, I knew about it. I heard stories about it.
But nothing happened.
Well, I mean, what was I going to do? I got to make my indie film. And he was going to finance it. I mean, without saying. I mean, even to the point one night, Matt Damon Was it Matt Damon?
Probably.
It was Matt Damon.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going.
Was sitting with, oh my God, I forget this actress. I almost want to say she's, no, it was, oh shit.
Tell me what she was in.
She was in, that I just saw the face and then escaped. It's not Meg Ryan. She was in that Meg Ryan's kind of vein.
Okay.
But she said, he's sitting there, and of course the whole thing Weinstein, he doesn't know what to say. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, he never really hit on me. And he turns and he goes, well, because, and she's looking at him, and I know what he wants to say. And he's like, well, and she says it for him. She goes, well, I just wasn't the kind of pretty that he was looking for. Yes. Because you knew what was about to come out of your mouth. Oh, because you're not young and cute.
Yeah.
So you're about to wow. So basically what you were about to do was diss this woman sitting next to you who's in a movie with you.
And just further dig yourself
in the grave.
Just a little bit.
She saw it.
Not for nothing, Matt Damon does that.
But she saw it. Like if you saw her face, she was I know exactly what you were about to say.
She knew before he even made a fucking
And he's
mutter.
Like, well, that's because...
Women know this, yes.
And she was like, yeah, but I wasn't the young, pretty thing that did...
Oh, yes.
Mm.
I wish I knew who you were talking about.
And once I she's in that age range, though. She's older, but...
Kathy and Jimmy.
No.
Ashley Judge.
Ashley
Judge about to kill somebody.
Exactly.
And what's the name started to worry me after a while because I was like, you need to tone it back a little bit because you don't have that much backup behind you.
Who? Rose McGowan?
Yes.
Oh right, yes.
And I got nervous. Not that somebody was going to go after her.
Right.
But my concern was like, you're gonna mess this up.
Right.
Because you keep.
You gotta look
what
hysterical.
You keep doing is you keep pointing people out and you don't have anybody backing you up.
Right, right.
So when the people backed you up on the one thing, just kind of wait a minute. Wait a minute.
See what's happening.
Let more people come on board and then go, can we talk about someone else? Yeah.
Yes.
There we go. Let's talk about this guy.
Agreed.
But once you start looking, and that is the problem. Because once you start doing that, then you're labeled crazy.
Exactly.
Then nobody's taking you seriously.
Everybody doubts you. Exactly.
Then everybody's like, well, you see, this is why nobody believes what women are saying, because you got chicks like her opening their mouth and running with it. And
that's not
true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case, because they are being assaulted by these people.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, we're now at a point where now we're trying to play like we don't know what sexual harassment means.
Right?
Hello.
We're trying to be like, there's like a weird gray area that is consensual. Then if you're 14, then it's not assault because it's still consensual. And it's,
we start to do that. Well, I mean, I told her she looked pretty. That's not what you said.
No.
There's a way that, like, if I see someone I work with, I go, man, that is a beautiful dress you're wearing. Thank you. But if I go and like, man, your body looks amazing in that dress. Where did you get it? Man, that's sexual harassment.
That's different.
Now we're pinpointing things on a person.
Well, that's because you got people coming out like Woody fucking Allen coming out being like, oh, there can't be a witch hunt. When he is
first
the worst friggin' advocate for a witch hunt in this scenario. Because I'm sorry, you are an assaulter, Woody Allen.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, that's just the case, okay? So you're talking about a witch hunt, you're talking about things that actually exist.
Mm.
So, yeah,
but you're also talking,
muddying the waters.
You're talking about an individual who, when he did what he did, with his daughter,
right,
mm-hmm.
and came to the Academy Awards that year, got a standing
Still
ovation.
Still got an ovation. Yeah, exactly. No one gave a
because,
shit. What happened?
Because the press is giving you a witch hunt,
right?
But every one of you in this room know that men like him are committing these atrocities every day.
Right.
But you're going to
that they rule Hollywood.
But you're going to stand up and you're going to do this. And now it becomes a case of like, well, who's, like, I don't even know if we want to say whose side are you on. It's like,
if Woody Allen is on your side, you're on the wrong side.
Where are we morally?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where do we now stand? Where does the moral line in the sand
It is get so grayed because morals used to be the purview of, like, you know, the conservative and the religious. But the conservative and religious are following people like Roy Moore, and they're fucking... They're defending people like this. So it's like, where does that morality lie anymore? It's so grayed out. It's basically wherever you need it to be at the moment.
Yeah.
Wherever it is, like, this person, oh, I like this person. So whatever this person did, that must be okay because I like them. Mm-hmm. That's your morals.
Well, it's also, get back to the money issue. It's kind of like with the gun situation. We are almost at a mass shooting every other day.
Yeah.
Seriously.
We're on that at that point.
Mm-hmm. And we're not even phased anymore.
We're not even phased anymore. You know, and you say something about it on Facebook, as I'm prone to do, and somebody's going to say, well, why are we talking about this now?
Right.
My first reaction, don't tell me what to do on Facebook. My second reaction, when the fuck are we supposed to talk about it?
Exactly. This is not the time for that. We're supposed to be in mourning now.
Who the fuck, and I say that rhetorically because I know who fucking started that. It was a fucking NRA themselves. Mm-hmm. They didn't have, because there's no other defense.
Nope.
Oh, well, you know, we can't talk. It's disrespectful to the families. The families that wouldn't have a dead person on their hands in the first place?
There's so many considerations.
If you had already fucking done something? Yeah. Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It's like, it's,
you know what, but we keep rolling into this whole ideology of rights.
Right.
And rights, basically what we're saying, rights are given to people at convenience.
Mm.
Not because you have the right to be.
Well, see, that depends. If you are a certain person, you have rights no matter what.
Yes.
If you're another person, you only have rights at a certain time.
Exactly. Because I'm at this point. After Sandy Hook, if you didn't do anything then, you were never going to do anything. This man murdered children.
Ain't that a bitch.
And the concern is, oh, they're going to take away my right to own a gun.
Yeah, because that is
let me right, let me take away let let's
because
take
your
away,
ability to shoot deer.
Let me take away
overrides. Yeah,
let's take everything.
Supersedes my life.
Let's take everything off the table.
Yep.
Here's a question.
Mm.
So you don't think that there should be something set up for people like that not to be able to obtain a weapon? That's all we're saying, is that a person like that with these kind of problems should not fall into that rank where they can obtain this.
Mm-hmm.
Not if it's going to interfere with me owning a gun. So here, it's almost like my dad used to say about people who were filthy rich and bought multiple houses, multiple cars, multiple planes. Mm-hmm. How many of these damn things you going to use at one time?
Seriously.
You got a stockpile of weapons in your basement. You plan on shooting all of these things at one time? Because my thing is that if you own them, then what's the problem? As long as the problem is, we have people who, and again, we don't want to face the fact that there's mental illness in this country. There are people with legitimate mental illnesses in this problem.
Absolutely.
In this country. But you want to have them have the same rights as you do. But that means this guy can walk into the store, buy himself an AK-47, go back out into the street, and have an emotional snap, and decide, you know what? I mean, does it mean that... I mean, we got to the point where we got kids killed. It's senators on a baseball field.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. Get shot at. People at a concert. With a dude who's got like a military stockpile in a room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what it takes. Like, at that point, it's like, what does it take to do something?
Yeah.
Nobody said you had to ban every doggone last thing. But, I mean, we got to put something in place.
First of all.
I mean.
If you need a machine gun to kill a deer.
You don't.
You're doing it wrong.
But here's the problem. Here's the thing. Most of those things are just attachments. people are putting stuff on. It's like putting rims on your car.
Right.
Like, literally, why do you need 20-inch rims on a BMW? Where are you going with all that? So it's like, it's just, it amazes me.
It's outrageous.
And like I said, every day, there's somebody, and I don't know if this is
And the 26-year-old that, fuck having a gun, he should have already been in custody. He half murdered an infant.
But
you or I could go to the local bodega right now and shoplift a fucking pint of Häagen-Dazs and be in Rikers Island in the hour. Are you fucking kidding
me? But
wait,
but just like how you two made that comment. So all these people in in Vegas get shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't need to talk about that right now.
Right.
We need
this is
to
not the time.
This is not the time. Dude runs over people on the West Side Highway. Hang him. He needs to go to the chair.
Well, he's brown.
Right? Yeah.
He's brown.
Because
there you go.
And again,
the second I saw him, you know what? The news, you know, I was
because
like,
then
oh
it's
my
like because that was the thing. This is what always got me. That dude was a gunman.
Right.
The
terrorist.
The dude behind the wheel of the car was a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do you know what the definition of terrorist means? To inflict fear into other people.
Yes.
Like now I tell you now, anybody in Vegas walking down the strip, hear a car backfire, people will start running. That's when you know that's terror. That you cats in New York, let us hear a plane go get close to something.
No, dude,
and
come on.
We start running for cover.
Look,
like,
let me tell you. I was at the first Mets game after 9/11, and a plane flew over the stadium.
Oh God!
And all you see is an entire stadium full of people do this.
Yep, just watching.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, it was fine. It was nothing. The Mets won. It was a great night.
But you know, you
but
all
shared
that moment.
But
shit.
No. I give you one better. After that, I was in Bryant Park for one of the movie nights.
Ah, shit.
And a plane, we were all sitting there, everybody's watching, and this plane is like coming, I guess it's coming in to LaGuardia.
Mm-hmm.
But over Midtown, he started coming in, and all you see is people start to sit up, and they're like, oh. And then when you realize it's not going to hit me, they're like, oh. But everybody thought the same thing.
Yes.
That's terror.
That's terror. Mm-hmm.
That's once you evoke terror in people, you can't go anywhere. We got to the point, if you don't think that the shooting of innocent lives is a terrorist attack, they tore the Sandy Hook school down.
They did.
They tore it down.
Wow.
They can't look, you can't have that there.
Wow.
We can't look at this building anymore. Children died here.
Yeah.
Adults trying to save children die here.
Okay, guys, we're going to finger paint now. No, I guess not.
Nobody wants. Who wants to be on those grounds?
No, you're right. You're right.
Totally right. Yeah.
Shit.
There's been only one person in this country, in our lifetime, who has been labeled a United States terrorist that I can remember. Timothy McVeigh.
Yep, McVeigh.
Who blew up the building in Oklahoma City. Is the only person, but I guess
that was a government building, I believe.
And he used a bomb.
That's why.
That was a government building, and he used a bomb.
But beyond that, they've never labeled anybody else a terrorist.
Beyond that, right. Mental illness. Nah. You know who I classify as mentally ill? Aunt Francine, who ruins Christmas. She's mentally ill. And you know, being brown, folks, you know, they don't even own up to that.
Yeah.
you know, that's how Francine is.
So we don't have any mentally ill in our family.
No.
Brown. We don't have any of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
That's just the way he is.
That's the way they are. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Like, the fuck out of here. You get mad. You want to be like, look. You are ruining Christmas. Stop it.
Somebody
talk to somebody.
Somebody get her some water.
Get a therapist.
You know?
But you know.
Another comment just showed up.
Uh-oh.
I do
think... Derek!
I do think...
Alright, so Derek says, interesting fact about guns in the Second Amendment. When the Second Amendment was written, we had maybe a dozen different types of firearms, all shoot...
No, 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 no. He's got it.
I can't see the whole comment.
We forget that that was because if you were forming a militia.
It was like five guns and they were all like muskets. And they were also like 5 minutes. And you were forming
a militia against a bunch of dudes in red coats.
Exactly. And you had to like stop.
Well, not to mention you also weren't deer hunting. You were trying to wipe out the Sioux.
But that's another thing. There was an online commercial like that where the guy, about the Second Amendment, where the guy comes into the office and tries to shoot his boss. Mm-hmm. He's like, pow! And everybody starts running and he pulls out the stuff. And he's putting the ball in the thing. And they were like, this is what it was meant when the Second Amendment was meant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did see that. It makes a difference.
Context makes a difference.
And it's... I mean, look. If you really, I mean, my thing is that I don't think you need to ban guns.
Anything
can be used as a weapon.
Exactly.
But I do believe, just like...
Shit, I'm handy with a screwdriver. Fuck that.
Here's my thing. What I think they should do. This is my opinion. They should create centers. You go, just like how you go to the DMV... Mm-hmm. You get online, you show your ID, you take a test, you go out, you go to some place where you shoot so they can make sure that you have hand-eye coordination. Mm-hmm. And the last thing before you can get your gun license, you see a psychologist.
There you go.
And let a professional psychologist say, yeah, that motherfucker can have a license.
And that's not taking away anyone who has guns.
No!
Because if you have a gun already, no one is taking it.
Nobody's taking it.
This is for future purchases.
But if you're going to walk up in here and you nuts, I ain't signing off on it. If I can't drive straight, when I take the road test,
you have no reason to have a gun.
That dude is like, yeah, nah, you ain't going nowhere. He's like, what did the guy, when I failed my first driver's test, I was like, I hit the curb, he's like, well, I guess you can be on the bus for a little bit longer.
Dude, first time I screwed up, the driving test thing, they had me out at Red Hook, where a couple of those two-way streets aren't fucking...
Two-way
like,
streets.
They aren't painted. So it's like, if you don't know, because somebody finally had to tell me, it's the manholes. When you see the manholes, you got to veer right.
Yeah.
It's like... Oh, now you tell me, exactly. But guess what? Damn, shouldn't get my license that day.
I took the road test around the corner from my mom's house,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing but factories over there. So everywhere I was, it was a truck. So every time I'm trying, there's an 18 wheeler. This dude pulls up, tells me to try. I'm in a Chevy Celebrity. He wants me to try to park the car between a Pinto and a BMW.
I can't even size that up.
And I hit the curb once. He's like, try it again. Twice, he's like, well, subway for you, pal. I'm like, damn. You know, I had to get out the car straight from the day.
I did not fail my driving test the first time.
Excuse me, specialty case.
Staten Island is a lot easier. Yeah. I specifically took it in Staten Island because I heard it was a lot easier than Annapolis. It's all suburbs. There's no trucks.
There's no shit.
So take your driving test in Staten Island and you'll be sick.
But I mean, that's the comedy behind it. Because it's like, you know, I know I have friends who failed a written test. You know, it was like...
Seriously, it's multiple choice.
No. Wait. And here's the test. Here's the question that everybody flunked.
What?
You're pulling out of your driveway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a child on a bike. Do you A, check your mirrors to make sure the child is not in your way? B, get out of your car, go behind the car to make sure the child passes safely?
Oh, honey, it's B.
Or C, yeah...
It's B.
How many people in New York actually...
No. You never tell you the truth. You answer what they want you to say. The answer is obviously B because it's the most extreme stupid thing you'll never do.
Yes, it was.
But they want you to know that that is the thing you should be doing.
And everybody was like,
no one overdoing.
You have got to be...
We will all look in our rearview mirror and just make sure that child is away.
Or
just yell at them.
D, park the car and put the kid through college. I mean, you know, really, son?
See, I didn't fail that question because I understood
people,
what they were looking for.
People walked out and was like, you gotta be kidding me. Who gets... Where was the last time you saw somebody get out
of
that
car? I will never
car?
Do it, but I will tell you I will. I will tell you I will so quickly.
Oh, Jesus. That was one of my favorite questions.
You just gotta know what they want to hear.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what
real.
And
even though in real life you're gonna be like little boy.
It's like, get the fuck out the road!
You and that big wheel. About to have a bad day.
Exactly, just scare the shit out of the kid. Just get the fuck out of my driveway.
or as my driving, or as when I went to take the 5-hour class.
Yeah.
My our instructor said, there's one place in this world I wanna go before I die. Nowhere. And everybody was like, what? He goes, you don't know about nowhere? He goes, every car comes from there. I was driving down the street, and this guy came out of nowhere. He's like, I was turning the corner, dude came out of nowhere. He's like, I want to visit nowhere. Because a whole lot
nowhere.
Of...
I say Narnia.
He's like, a whole lot of people come from there. And cars, because they just magically appear. Bam! What happened? I was making this turn. Dude came out of nowhere.
Fucking nowhere. They're a terrorist organization.
And we...
They were a terrorist. Just causing accidents across the board.
There was a 5-car pileup. Nowhere is claiming responsibility for this 5-car pileup.
Yup.
Which I still...
The nation of nowhere.
To this day, I still
greetings,
don't.
Mr. Bond. I am Agent 87 from nowhere.
Fuck you, nowhereians.
And to this day, I will never understand that concept. It's like, the car bomb went off today. So-and-so is claiming responsibility. Are y'all going to go and get these people from this organization? I'm like, who sent the message that it was like... Let them know it was us.
It came from Raven.
like on Facebook, people are like tagging themselves. Safe. Responsible. Safe.
It's like, who?
It's like a howler from fucking Harry Potter just magically shows up like, I was responsible. You just never find them though.
And I mean, it made me think of this comedian years ago who did a whole thing about that. And he said, when they get together and they're like, okay, you know, you're going to go. And do this, and he's like, okay, does anybody else not have a problem with this? Why does Ahmed not go? He always sends one of us. Why don't you go? He's like, what? Nobody else has anything to say around it. And I'm like, oh, that's just... But it's... Oh... What was this thing about the Second Amendment?
So I finally dug that up. Okay, so thank you, Derek, for this. Interesting fact about guns in the Second Amendment. When the amendment was written, we had maybe a dozen different types of firearms, all shooting one bullet. So it goes back to your point with mm-hmm. the commercial. Today, you couldn't count the variations of handguns alone. One well-armed person with modern weapons has the same or better firepower than an entire battalion of soldiers during the era that when that amendment was written.
Yep.
Very good point. And so what we really need is a time machine. And then we can basically pull the end of The Last Samurai when they were hitting them cats with the... With the Gatling guns, yeah, that's what we need.
I don't know if you guys are up on Legends of Tomorrow, but don't mess with time. You're just gonna make more problems.
But you know,
I come back to Brooklyn and it's all black people to sue Indians. I got no problem with
you
that.
You know what that makes me think of?
What?
So you remember the movie Heat?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Do you remember around the time that movie came out, them two guys in California that robbed that bank and were, like, armored down?
Yeah.
And had that shootout with the cops.
Well, their shootout was based on
that movie. And they said the
police... Well, wait, which came first? Was the shootout first or was the movie first?
And they did the shootout based on that.
Yeah.
They were fully body armored down to the point where the Los Angeles police ran out of bullets.
They had to get
to local gun shops to get guns to stop these guys.
Because they had higher caliber guns. Yeah, I remember that shit.
There is a problem. Yeah,
that's crazy. There's a bunch of savages in Los Angeles anyway. You got I'm not trying to live there, son.
Well, see, that's the problem. It's like the cops have one thing, and then someone comes out with this other product, and it becomes available online, and you'll just be able to buy it. And there's no verification process. There's relatively little checks and balances on just buying things online, and that's why people are able to get these high caliber weaponry.
But,
and meanwhile, the police are stuck with this, you know, last generation friggin' weaponry.
Mm-hmm. But then this is the problem that comes up, and it's important to note because it's very much reminiscent of the three Star Wars prequels, in that you have criminals that have guns,
right?
And then you have shiesty Republicans that are in bed with the NRA. So then what they say to the cops is, okay, here's a budget for like $8 billion, and then the cops come back, and the cops have tanks and RoboCop and all this other shit, and all you've got is just like blood in the fucking street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, where is the fucking end?
That is the question.
I say people need to go back to not shooting to kill. Like, there's a way to disarm people without killing them. And that's an art that I feel has been lost somewhere along the line. Like, people now, if someone has a gun, you automatically do a chest shot because you want to kill them. And I hear you. You're scared of that person. But there is an art to making them, you know, shoot them in the leg. Suddenly, oh shit, they drop. They can't walk. Okay, maybe we disarm them.
You're asking for actual marksmanship.
I'm asking for actual work. Yes, I'm asking for effort. Yeah.
And I'm not mad at that. I don't think we're gonna see that.
I don't think we're gonna see it either. But I think that's what it comes down to, because I mean, you can still have your guns and everything. Just stop shooting to kill. Stop murdering people.
Yes.
There's a way to shoot people and not kill them. There's so many places you can shoot me and I won't die automatically. Mm. I will be able to be rushed to a hospital and saved. Do that for criminals.
Yes.
Why you gotta kill people automatically? You don't even know if this person is mentally ill. You don't know if this person has, you know, they don't even have a weapon on them. You just think they do, and you shoot to kill because you're scared. Just shoot to disarm.
Yes.
Can we start training for that? If we can do that, I bet you we'd already get like an increase on just the way that the relationships between cops and just people would be. Because you wouldn't be like, these people are murdering us. It's like, okay, they're protecting themselves, but they're also protecting us at the same time. Well, we're both living, you know?
That's the other issue.
That's just my two cents.
I mean, but you know, the thing is that you're not trained for that.
That's what I'm saying. It comes down to training.
You're trained.
You need some money going into their training.
You
need time
to put the person down.
There you go.
Everything is a threat.
If you're out there to protect and serve, I want you to be trained to protect and serve. I want you to know how to protect and serve me. Not just be this person with a gun that's like, oh, I have a gun, so obviously I'm your savior. No, you're not. You're just as dangerous as any other person until you have that training.
Mm-hmm.
So put that extra time in. Put that extra money in. Get these people trained so we can trust our police officers. Because that's the problem. We shouldn't be fearing our cops. Our cops are there to protect us, but in reality, they are our enemies half the time.
Mm-hmm. But you know, here's the sad truth.
Yeah.
The word police is ultimately derived from the word policy. And
yeah,
as brown folk, we don't set that.
We don't. But we can work on changing things little by little. And that's the way we've always gotten, like, made strides in history. It's always been, the laws have been written by the people with the pale skin.
Yes.
And brown people have eventually warmed the hearts of those people to make laws that suddenly benefit us. And that's unfortunately going to be the way it's going to have to continue until enough brown people are in there making those laws.
Well,
that's just the way it is.
But and ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, that is the purpose
of fucking voting. Exactly. Yeah. Make your voice heard.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
We have been at this for over 3 hours, ladies and gentlemen.
Holy shnikes.
I mean, I almost feel like Jerry Lewis needs to show up with a timpani right now and see how much money we raise. I mean, for real. I know. Woo! I got to go stage manage The View tomorrow.
I got to sleep.
And for real. But thank you, Mark, Taryn.
Thank you.
I appreciate this y'all being here and knocking out all this stuff. Kirk, you suck. Just kidding.
Love you.
We miss you, man.
We miss you. Single tear.
We are going to sign out. I'm about to hit stop on this GarageBand podcast thing. Right after that, I'm going to shut this off. Because, shit.
Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, thank you.
Exactly. Good thing we didn't do this on Mark's phone. That's a whole other story in itself. Good night!
Yo, T, Mark's phone bill would be like $3,000.
You would just be crying.
I hope my wife is hearing this. You know who to yell at when this is over, right? You know who to yell at when this is over.
Mm-hmm. Hi, honey.
But at the same time, he's right.
Where are you going?
Oh, great,
great.
Don't
want to be on. All right. Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to hit...